Good morning, Gamecock fans. Today is Tuesday, February 3rd, the year of our Lord 2026. This is Coffee with JC Sherbert. Hope you're all doing well today on a Tuesday. The morning show later today, we have Darren Usher, the director of player personnel for South Carolina football. It's always a great conversation. So Darren and Jamie are going to dig into the transfer portal players they've added. Maybe some high school recruits, which is kind of what we're going to talk about today as we kind of put a bow on the 2026 cycle with the release of final rankings across the recruiting industry, and all things personnel related. Darren's a really good interview, gives really good in-depth answers. So check it out live on the Chief Sports app, YouTube, X. Podcast version will be up by 4 o'clock today on Apple and Spotify on our new channels. We'll also cut the interview and it'll be standing alone on Chief Sports South Carolina YouTube channel. So very excited about having Darren on today. Preston Thorne is also in 107.5 The Game, former South Carolina defensive tackle from the Lou Holtz era. I'm sure they'll talk a little bit about Coach Holtz given his situation today with Jamie. Then it's Terrible Tuesday on the show. Sports Talk tonight, streaming 6 to 8 on our app only. Tailgate Talks is tomorrow. Steven and Pat, we have that on the Chief Sports app as well. So looking forward to that. Also, the late night Gamecock show. If you missed the Trey Kelly interview, that interview is cut and on our YouTube channel, also up and available on podcast format. Trey, former Gamecock player, had a lot of things to say about Carolina basketball, which returns to action tonight, deep in the heart of Texas and Austin. First trip to Austin to play the Longhorns. Gamecocks beat Texas last year at the Colonial Life Arena, going out there to, I think it's still the Irwin Event Center in Austin, Texas, but first trip to Austin since the Longhorns have joined the SEC. From talking to Derek Scott yesterday on the morning show, there's a big contingent of Gamecocks heading out administratively, so I think that's pretty standard whenever there's a new school in the league, you kind of go visit. Gamecocks, of course, have not played the Horns in baseball on the road or football on the road. So it's the first, they played women's basketball many, many times, but they haven't played in a men's sport yet. So I don't know, you know, Gamecocks will go out there. Texas is 39th in the net rankings and a good basketball team under first year head coach Sean Miller. So can't get Sean Miller off the schedule. He was on it last year when the Gamecocks played Xavier down in Florida and they won the game, and so we'll see what South Carolina can do tonight if there's a turnaround in them as they start the second half of SEC play. But this basketball conversation is going to continue to trend, as we all know, in a certain direction as the losses pile up. We spent almost the whole show yesterday talking about basketball, and the morning show was part of it as well, and I understand that. People just want success. You know, people care. It's not a sport that, in my opinion, has maintained its core fan base as well as maybe some other sports around here through the years for a number of reasons. But it's a sport that matters. People care about Carolina basketball. If you watch the games on TV, you wouldn't think that. But, I mean, there's 10, 12,000 in the stands. You know, that's a good crowd by any measure, numbers wise. So we'll see what happens with all that starting tonight, moving forward. See if the Gamecocks can go out there and give the Longhorns a basketball game. That tips at 7 on SEC Network, if I'm not mistaken. On the women's side, Joyce Edwards goes off last night, 28 points. What a fantastic game from her, by the way. 10 for 12 from the foul line, 11 rebounds, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, a block shot, 5 offensive boards. Maybe a little more competitive game than Dawn Staley would have liked. The Aggies came in 1-7 in the SEC. South Carolina defeats Texas A&M. Sorry, I didn't mention who they were playing. 71-56. South Carolina is now 22-2 overall, 8-1 in the Southeastern Conference. In first place, Tennessee is in second, a game back, but tied in the loss column at 6-1. South Carolina continues to roll. They do play Tennessee coming up in 5 days on ABC. So that I don't think that that's not Super Bowl Sunday. No, yeah, it is. Wait a minute, hold on. Tuesday, Monday. Yep, Super Bowl Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern time on national television. The Gamecocks will be playing 19th ranked Tennessee Volunteers. I like their coach, by the way, in women's sports. So a big game coming up. The Carolina does have Mississippi State on Thursday coming into the Colonial Life Arena. So 2-game homestand, and then they turn right back around on Valentine's Day and go to LSU, another ABC game. So back to back. See what happens when you win. You get lots of national exposure. Back to back big games. Tennessee Super Bowl Sunday, LSU in Baton Rouge on Valentine's Day. I think there's a college game day going there, but really happy for Joyce Edwards, local product, obviously coming out of Columbia. Could have gone anywhere in the country and stayed at home. And a big game last night in Aggieland for her, and the Gamecocks go to 22-2. So wanted to update you on all of that. So football recruiting, and this is kind of in my wheelhouse, and wanted to just kind of dive in since the rankings are finished with 24/7 Sports. Rivals, which is On3, their recruiting brand now. For those that are confused about it, On3 purchased Rivals, and that's the original OG recruiting brand. I know because I was there toward the end when, from 04 to 07, when we were building it, Rivals.com was an amazing, the number one recruiting brand. And then it sold to Yahoo, kind of went through the wilderness. We created 24/7 Sports and counterpunched and, ended up enveloping scout.com. ESPN kind of de-emphasized the team side end of things. They still do recruiting and do a good job, still friends with those guys. On3 starts and does recruiting. And so now, when you're talking about composite rankings and consensus rankings, it's ESPN, Rivals, and 24/7 Sports. So just to make that clear, that's a change in the industry, right? It's a fantastic business, but I've always liked the Rivals.com recruiting brand quite a bit, and think it's solid, and what they do with it is very smart. I think you can take that and bring it back to the top in a lot of ways. But they do consensus rankings. 24/7 Sports still has the composite, and we're just going to roll through that. If you do network outliers. My initial reaction to how, because I'm South Carolina focused now, and I can give you my opinion about players on film and trends and things like that, but I don't see everybody in person like I used to give a good comparison. So I can't really say that I wouldn't do the same thing looking at it objectively and all that. But I can still project and do things like that. What I can't do is really dig in and go, why is this guy over that guy? Because the film may point in one direction, but if you see him in person, you add it up and feedback and all that, it may hit in another. There are some calls though that are just dead wrong. Colin Sadler from Greenville High School, I remember he was ranked by an analyst that I don't ever think's been to South Carolina nor seen him in person. He ended up going to Clemson. I think he's had some injuries or something. Not that he's a bad player, but he was ahead of Nick Emenwore in some rankings. And it's easy to sit there and pick out outliers, right? But just in general, there are a lot, and I'm going to get to this in a second, a lot of players in South Carolina that the industry as a whole sometimes falls in love with, even when the in-state schools, Clemson, South Carolina, both pass and they end up getting ranked. There's two in this class or three maybe. I got to look at who where they ended up with Carnell Warren, that Clemson and South Carolina were like, yeah, no thanks from South Carolina. And they go, they go elsewhere, sometimes big schools, and it's not often that they pan out. Braylon Staley, who's at Tennessee, who is panning out. South Carolina actually did come and offer him. It was late, though. So that's one I think you could put in that category of, why did Clemson pass when South Carolina was late? He goes to Tennessee. He's a really good player, especially in that system. Would have loved to have had him right now, wide receiver from Aiken. But, most of the time, and I'll just go ahead and get into it. Most of the time, from the trend in South Carolina is, if the industry recruiting industry has a guy ranked like four stars, Clemson and South Carolina pass, and they end up on a team on a, with a program that's in the Power Four, that's a little bit higher level than maybe a Wake Forest or a Duke. Those are different. But like Banag, Yvon Banag's son, I believe, at AC Floor, he's going to Oregon. Four stars on him. Clemson and South Carolina passed. I just didn't think he was, whether it's size or whatever. Now, Dan Lanning, he can evaluate and recruit. I'm not saying, I'm not predicting doom, but the trend is guys like that normally, don't exactly work out. There's a defensive end that I really, really liked. Just to be honest with you, I was hoping that South Carolina would take him. They did not ultimately. And he's from Woodland, Dorchester, South Carolina, Woodland High School. And obviously, 24/7 Sports and everybody else, they have him four stars going to Florida State. Jamin Pinckney, 6'5", 217. Now, this guy could work out. He's D-line heaven. Don't get me wrong. But normally the guys like that and I'll throw Carnell Warren in there and Franklin Whitley, because Franklin Whitley, the defensive lineman from Greenville, who I actually liked, another D lineman, going to Florida State, basketball player, love the athletic upside. Nothing wrong with him as a prospect at all, but he's a four-star guy that 24/7 Sports had in the within the top 10. Hope, we'll see if he works out. Carnell Warren from Bluffton High School, 6'4", 200, going to North Carolina, was committed to Virginia Tech. They've had him four stars for a while. And that's ahead of players like Tristan Lewis, Caden Ramsey, Anthony Baxter, who's going to South Carolina, Stone Fury, Michael Foster, defensive end from Indian Land, going to Clemson, 48th in the state. So I don't know. I think maybe Clemson's looking at him as a linebacker or something like that. So the state rankings get kind of jumbled up, but most of the time, the guys that go anywhere, if you're just talking like in your mind, do players go to NC State, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, and sometimes work out? Yes, when they're not offered. But when they go to a bigger school, sometimes those guys circle back. You hear they're in the portal all of a sudden. And all that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's normally the rule of thumb. Now, I'll say that the players that come back to bite you are the guys that maybe go to Coastal, the Group of Five, or App State. Vanderbilt's gotten a few through the years. Kentucky's gotten a few through the years. It's those types of players that come back. Wake Forest, obviously. Has some players that have done that. So those are the guys you got to look out for, right? And just trend wise in South Carolina, if they get out of the state. But South Carolina signed, when all is said and done, per 24/7 Sports composite, three of the top five within the state. Five, I believe, was it four of the top seven? Because the kid going to FSU from Woodland, Woodland High and Banag are ranked ahead of Sequel Patterson, which, thank goodness he's still a composite four star, because everybody seemed to drop him. I don't understand that, considering their projections. But so another good group from within the state. Julian Walker and Jazavian Currents are the consensus top two prospects in South Carolina. Zion Giles, is a top three or four. Polo Anderson, who's from Dorman, the safety, very elite player, in my opinion, going to Clemson, lifelong Clemson guy, Dorman High School. South Carolina gave it a run, but he's a very, very good safety. He's going to Clemson, and all that good stuff. Now, I didn't mention Tamarian Watkins. Now, he's going to A&M, but South Carolina and Clemson both offered him. So that's different when there's an offer in place and you simply lose them. Those guys do work out most of the time. That's why you hate to lose them. Not all the time, but most of the time. So there's a higher percentage there. I'm more talking about the guys that get higher, that are like outliers. The in-state schools pass, but the recruiting industry likes them, and then they go to a big school that the big school bites or likes them, those guys normally don't come back to haunt you as bad as maybe we think when we look at those 4 stars. So I wanted to clarify that. So Watkins is right there, but three of the top five in the state of South Carolina. Julian Walker ended up being the top prospect in the state. After Currents was the top prospect for a long time, Walker's performance, both on the high school football field for Dutch Fork this year and at the Navy All-American Bowl, bolted him up. Now, Rivals had him as a 5-star guy, top 15 in the country. And that was the outlier in the industry. Number 15, number 4 Edge, number 1 in the state. 24/7 was not willing to go that far. They have him as the 6th ranked Edge, 40th overall in the country, but number 1 in the state. ESPN had him lower, 90th overall, 12th at Edge, but also number 1 in the state of South Carolina. As for Currents, they're kind of the same. He kind of stayed the same. And of course, he went to the Navy All-American Bowl last year because juniors can play, rising seniors can play in it now. So maybe the focus wasn't as much on him this year. Just like Julian Walker, though, you look on the high school football field, this kid was a warrior, dominant player, elite, very confident player out of South Point in Rock Hill, Gamecock. A Gamecock pipeline, so to speak. He's big, 6'3" and a half, 205 pounds, high school quarterback. I just feel like he can step in and play next season. With Walker and with any lineman, what Walker's going to have to do is gain the strength and weight. His dad's a strength coach, so that's good. People have pointed that out to his excellent frame to get on the field and play a lot. Next year, that's a bigger adjustment than playing safety. We've seen as recently as Nick Emanuore step on the field and play as a safety as a true freshman. I think Jazavian has that kind of a high floor ability to come in and do it. Just because guys that play both sides of the ball, guys that lead their high school team, we saw it with Pup Sellers last year. People want to know why Cutter Woods is a little more advanced. Cutter Woods as a quarterback was like that at Westside. Those guys, Stephon Gilmore, when he came out, stepped right on the field and played. There's just something about it, especially within the state, that those guys seem to be more ready to play. It's probably because they've handled more pressure situations. You go through the playoff, state playoffs as a high school player, and you're on the field. And with Currents, he's touching the ball every play as a quarterback and, out there running around and making plays. He's just playing football. The more you play football, the better you get at it. And then if you can go up a level and handle the transition, you're more prepared to get on the field, in my opinion, and that's the category Currents falls into. Now, will he be the starting safety when Carolina plays Kent State? I don't know. Peyton Williams is back. You've got Kendall Daniels over there, Kelvin Hunter. There's some competition. David Busey, a lot of players back there. Gerald Kilgore is back, and he seems to make a play every time he's on the field. So safety's going to be an interesting spot to watch with South Carolina as we go through spring practice and heading into the 2026 season. So the in-state haul for me is great. I think there are two sleepers in the class to look out for. One is probably not what I would consider a sleeper, because Caden Ramsey, Rivals had him as they went 4 stars on him out of Tiny Cross High School. And that's another guy that's all over the field. Anybody that has double-digit interceptions in a high school season and one A ball, even though he's an offensive player at South Carolina, that's a guy that to look out for. I don't know what Kendall Briles will decide to do with him, but if he's good enough, they'll find something to do with him right away. I wouldn't worry so much about him getting to be 250 or whatever to play tight end, because in this system, South Carolina systems under Beamer prior to now, the tight ends they've been creative with the way they've used them, and in at least one case, almost too creative with the multiple tight end offense, which was, I kind of wondered about, especially with a lot of good receivers. But when you that's one way to use it, but you also still have like, okay, this is a tight end, they're attached, they do that. In this offense, there's a lot of like I don't want to say positionless, that's a basketball term, but there's a lot of just, okay, this guy on this play goes, here's how we're going to use this player. And then the system adapts to accommodate that. So I'm not ruling Caden Ramsey out. Now Tristan Lewis, this guy may take a little bit. Another high school quarterback from Greenwood that's going to make the transition to safety, but he's another big kid, 6'4", 210. Interesting enough, once Tamarian Watkins committed to A&M, South Carolina almost immediately goes and offers Lewis, right? And so it's almost like, oh, well, we can go get this other kid and make him into what we thought Watkins would be eventually. And so we'll see. But he had a pretty good year. He's a good athlete. Greenwood High School, too. Good to see the Gamecocks get back in there. Zion Giles is interesting because rivals liked him as, and people, the whole industry's moved him as an interior offensive line projection at this point. I mean, he's 6'4.5. I think he could go either way. I still think maybe right tackle for him, but you look down the road for the Gamecocks, maybe he's an interior. He could do any. He's got the ability to do it. They loved him at Rivals this past year. They have the number one, he's the number one interior offensive line prospect in America. They have Darius Gray number four, by the way. We'll get to Virginia here in a second. 47th overall, second in the state. Now 24/7, not as high. They moved him to interior as well, though. 10th at offensive guard or center, interior offensive line. Fourth in the state, 176 overall. At ESPN, sixth on the interior, or on the, in the state, 37th. So that dragged him down a bit as far as the composite goes. So he's number 153 overall in 24/7 Sports composite. But Rivals really liked him. That was the outlier there. But South Carolina likes Zion Giles, and everybody in the country offered him from Carver's Bay. So Carver's Bay and Greenwood, it does my heart good to see the Gamecocks get back into those high schools because they've been good to South Carolina over the years. And I mentioned Sequel Patterson earlier. He's still number 287 overall, so inside the top 300 as far as composite goes. Actually, he's ahead of Tamarian Watkins. Now, that's a decision. I'm not, Watkins to me, going to Carolina or not going to Carolina is a top five prospect in the state, and there's no question about it, period. Maybe I'm wrong. I know a lot of Gamecock fans out there probably hope I'm wrong since he's not coming to South Carolina, but I love that kid. I mean, I was highly disappointed because it looked like that was a done deal. I mean, he's from Northwestern. Everybody said he's going to stay close to home, and he goes all the way to A&M. And I was asked when it looked like he was almost a lock for the Gamecocks, which one, if they lost him, would you be most disappointed by? And I said him. Everybody was kind of shocked. People thought I was prophetic. I wasn't, although just something told me, man, it would really, from where I sit, in my opinion, which doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but that would be a tough one in my eyes to lose, and it was. It still is, even though he's ranked, the industry has him behind Benag, behind Pinckney, behind Sequel Patterson, who they kept dropping like a rock for whatever reason, and all the others. So we'll see how that plays out. But I tend to think I'm right about that, unfortunately. But you never know. You never know. But an awesome haul in state. As we look to 2027, just briefly, it's the picture is not as clear right now. I know Josh Dobson, who actually is now a North Carolina prospect, as he went to Huff or transferred to Huff up there. He from Catawba Ridge, LSU is picking up steam on him, and he's an elite corner. So I don't know what it is, Charlotte area elite corners, but after losing Smoke Matthews last year, but with all these guys in high school, there's a long way to go. There's a long way to go. And South Carolina's been pretty good. I mean, they flipped Walker back from Michigan after a 4-8 season. But when you start to kind of dig into 2027, folks, I'll say this. A lot of folks believe that if you have a bad year, It impacts your class you've got. That doesn't happen as often these days. Now, look, well, I'll say this. It was a good job by Darren Usher, who you'll hear from later, Chain Beamer, keeping the class intact, because you do sometimes you'll lose one or two, but for the most part, those guys made their decision based on visiting the previous year. So success kind of helps with that moving forward. And all that good stuff. It's kind of more advanced this year. Now, if they end up going back to the February signing day, maybe it does impact a little more, but there was just not enough time to kind of, reopen it and all that. NIL is usually locked in, and teams, unless you're North Carolina, who signed 40, let me repeat this, 40 high school players in this class. Huh. The NFL GM, and they said they did exactly what they said they were going to do. We're going heavy in the high school ranks. I'm like, with a 70-something-year-old coach and the transfer portal out there and money to spend, you're going to go with high school, and then you got 40 guys, and half of them are going to end up getting in the portal. I mean, how do you evaluate that? I have a lot of questions, but we can talk about that on the show. But there's just you got that locked in, and there's not a lot of schools that are going to come in over the top late in the process and say, oh yeah, we really want this guy. Although there's some of Carolina's guys who wouldn't want him. We don't live in a normal world. So another good job. My point on the 2027 class, though, is that 4-8 and the hot seat talk and all that good stuff, that can affect this class. And it's a shame. And so South Carolina's got some battles on their hands as far as the 2027 class in state goes. They've done a good job getting guys on campus. They got some momentum for some guys. They're going to do it. But there may be some situations where you have to go try to flip. It's already kind of started with Jaden Bryan at Irmo committing to LSU. And then if Josh Dobson goes LSU, that's another thing, too. He's in North Carolina now, like I said, but you gotta kind of, I don't know. It's going to be one of those things that, unlike 2026, where I thought South Carolina was set up very well, and losing a guy like Watkins and initially losing Walker was kind of shocking and surprising. This class, it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a battle, and that's just the nature of going 4-8 and how it impacts high school recruiting. Not saying they can't get it done, but it's a different outlook because every other school, it gets back to good old-fashioned recruiting, right? Every other school is going to be like, hey, the coach may not be there. Although that still matters. It's not just money. It's money for some guys, but in high school recruiting, it's not as much. Out of state, and unfortunately, as far as the industry rankings go, the composite and the consensus, the CNC. Darius Gray did not end up as a five-star. Rivals had him 79th overall, fourth interior offensive lineman, number two in Virginia. He didn't end up as the number one prospect in Virginia either. He was behind Hitter, the running back going to Michigan. 24/7 still loves Darius Gray, 15th overall, one at interior offensive line, one in Virginia. ESPN, 63rd overall. 10th interior offensive line, number two in Virginia. So not an out-of-state five-star, unfortunately. And when it's I like to go on the composite and consensus with all this. So that's unfortunate. Doesn't mean he's not as good of a player. I don't know why he dropped for some people's eyes. Maybe they didn't have him as high, but he still was one of the most, my friend Steve Wiltfong calls it coveted, one of the most coveted players in America. So glad to have him, and it's going to be interesting to see how he fits in with all these new offensive linemen come summer when he gets here. Aiden Harris was a big get defensive tackle wise. He's already here. Rivals had him 88th overall, seventh at D tackle, sixth in North Carolina. Similar for 24/7 Sports, 85th overall, ninth at D tackle, fifth in North Carolina. ESPN not as high, 162nd overall, 19th D tackle, 7th in North Carolina. So, Aiden Harris was a blue chip get and a good player. Landon Duckworth ended up settling right around mid 200s. Rivals 146th overall, 11th quarterback, 6th in Alabama, 24/7, 154. 10th at quarterback, so top 10 quarterback ranking there. 8th in Alabama, ESPN 198th overall, 6th at quarterback, and I believe 10th in the state of Alabama. Alabama. So Landon Duckworth, good player, good quarterback pickup. And then Causey Barnes was kind of the riser in this class. Sleepers and risers. He's a riser. I think he'll play corner at South Carolina. Given his trajectory, can he get on the field early? Yes, he's from Greensboro, Grimsley. Miami came after him pretty hard. Gamecocks held them off. Rivals not as high, 286 overall, 38th at corner, 13th in the state. 24/7 jacked his ranking up, though. He was a three-star, and he gets to 193rd overall, 143rd overall. I think that's a four or a nine. Come on, JC, do better. 15th at corner, 11th in the state. ESPN did not have him in the 300, 35th at corner, 16th in the state. And they may have had him as a safety, too, because he's tall. But, a lot of good players out of North Carolina. You've got Aiden Harris and Causey Barnes. Noah Clark ended up right outside the top 300 in the consensus, inside the top 300 in the 24/7 Sports Composite at D-tackle. So a lot of good players. And On Three Rivals has a blue chip quotient. This year, 53% of this class ended up four stars or better. It's a smaller class, and the lower ranked guys I like quite a bit. I think Stone Fury is a Mike Fury's son, very worthy player to come to the University of South Carolina from in state at wide receiver. Heck of a player at Dutch Fork. High school recruiting rankings are funny when you talk about team rankings. I thought the 2024 class was and still is pretty good, but according to the On Three consensus, it was 19th. 2025 was 17th, larger class in 25, and then this smaller class but high blue chip ratio 18th. The 24/7 Sports Composite rankings. Team rankings 22nd in 2024, 19th last year, 19th this year. So it settled around 19, 18, 19, maybe 20. So, and right around 10th in the SEC, which is good. I think that's striking distance when you consider the way you put a roster together in college football these days. So that's how the rankings ended up working out. A lot of good players coming to South Carolina. I do think Julian Walker, Darius Gray, Jazavian Currents, and Causey Barnes would probably be the guys I would circle as far as getting on the field in year one. But I'm not ruling out Sequel Patterson, electric player. Not ruling out Caden Ramsey. Not even ruling out a guy like Stone Furry. And then there's always a guy that I don't mention and nobody else mentions that the coaches love that ends up playing in year one. I'm trying to think of who that guy would have been this past season. It was DQ Smith the first year he was at South Carolina. That was the wow. Okay, so that guy's going to go in and start, and he's the last guy in the door, so to speak. Judge Collier was the year he came in 2023. I'm trying to think of who the 24 guy would have been that was maybe a freshman that came in and played a bunch. Last season, probably Jaden Sellers would fit that role. And there were a lot of receivers, and I think we mentioned Jaden a few times, but last half of the season, he was the best receiver on the team. I'd have to think about 2024. Who was a guy that came in and played that we didn't really talk about all that much? So that would be interesting to me. That's kind of when the portal stuff really started getting going. I mean, it wasn't Mazio because we talked about him. I don't know. Maybe David Busey playing special teams like he did. That wasn't a very big class. And some of those guys are gone. Some of those guys are gone now. All right, so don't forget Darren Usher. He can get into all this better than I can, but I assume that the portal will take over the discussion today, just because we haven't heard from Shane Beamer yet about that. That press conference is scheduled for tomorrow, and so I know everyone's anxious to hear about the different players that they got. It's like opening up Christmas presents, in a way. Hey, how good's this guy gonna be? What do you think? I mean, last year when we talked to him. Oh gosh, he gave us a lot of good insight on Gabriel Brownlow Dindy and a lot of the guys that came in through the portal. So looking forward to hearing that. And he'll be on at 11. Morning show starts at 10, then Terrible Tuesday on the show. I'm sure we'll circle back and talk more recruiting and all that then. Thanks for listening. This has been Coffee with JC Sherbert. I'm out. Holla.